Turning your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Some of you may be fans of The Voice. How many of you watch The Voice? A few of you do. Jordan Smith, Kentucky boy, won that show. You know, us Kentucky boys, we have good voices. And you know the winning song? Mary, Did You Know? And do you know one night that he sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and immediately after that, it took over number one downloads on iTunes. So isn't it great that a guy can get on a national show and praise and elevate the name of Jesus and not be ashamed? Good for Jordan Smith. And what's even more amazing to me is people voted for him. They loved what he did. And you know, it's still okay to exalt the name of Jesus, and I think that's good. And that's what I want to do this morning. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning verse 1. Stand with me as we read God's word together. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you and thank you for your holy word. We pray your blessings on our time together this morning as we study your word and look at the gift of your Son to each of us in this Christmas season. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Now is it time?
Okay, go ahead.
Fine. I've been waiting forever to give you this.
Oh, believe me, I know.
I would dare say that that did not end the way you thought it was going to. But that phrase at the end of that video caught my attention in preparation for this message. I've been waiting forever to give you this. I think it captures a little bit of God's heart towards us when He sent one of the greatest gifts He could ever give to each of us. And this morning, I got 3 points to my message I want to share with you. And each point sort of builds, each phrase builds upon the next phrase. So we're going to give them to you one at a time. First of all, I want to show you with you out of John chapter 3, God's motivation for giving this gift that He has given us. God's motivation is His character. Think about who God is. There's many views of God. There are some that are atheists that don't believe in any God at all, that we live in our world today. There are just some who will not acknowledge God as God. There are those who polytheists, who think that there are many gods, and the God that we worship is one of many to whom they can worship. And then there are monotheists, and we would say that as Christians, we are all monotheists. We believe in one God, one true God. But then there are those who are even monotheists who believe that God is transcendent, that He's way out there somewhere and He can't really be known. And then there are those of us who believe He's immanent, that He's personal. And I believe that God is a personal God who knows every detail and character of our life. And His motivation is He knows us, and even though He knows us, He still cares for us and gives us the gift of His Son anyway. So what is God's motivation to us? It's His character, and His character is revealed in His love. And the Bible says, God so loved, verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that word for love there is the word agape in the Greek language. There's more than one word for love in the New Testament, but agape is the one that's used most often, and it's used to describe God's kind of love always. And that love is an unconditional love. We live in a world in which love is often conditioned upon our response. We say, I love you if you'll bake me some cookies. I love you if you'll give me a kiss. I love you if. And we have these conditions placed on our love. Or we say, I love you because you're beautiful, and if you cease to be beautiful, I'll stop loving you. I love you because you provide a good paycheck to the family. I'd love you because you drive a nice car. That's all real shallow, isn't it? God's love is not conditional. It's not a love if, and it's not a love because of. It's a love in spite of. For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us unconditionally. In fact, I want to say a specific truth here this morning that it's hard to imagine. There is nothing you could do that would make God love you any less. And there was nothing you could do to make God love you anymore. He just loves you. That's His character, His nature. He loves you, and He loves you unconditionally. You may wonder about God's love sometimes. You may wonder why you do not feel God's love. But I want to tell you, if you want to know God's love, look to the cross. He expressed His love to you by sending His Son Jesus to die for you. You want to know how valued you are in God's eyes, look to the cross. He gave His one and only Son. That is God's character. He is a loving God who loves you unconditionally. Daniel Overdorf tells a story. He says, one of my older sisters and her husband served for 12 years as missionaries in Haiti. Among various other ministries such as church plants, a school, and feeding programs, he said they discipled a few young men who today lead various churches and ministries in Haiti. One participant in this endeavor was a shy young man by the name of Miltador. Now, Miltador showed a heart to obey even the most radical instructions of the Bible. Like most Haitians, Miltador lived in poverty. He did not have many possessions, like most Haitians do not have many possessions. But he owed a cow, a feat that not many in Haiti could even say they possessed. Miltador used that for his family as an opportunity for ongoing nourishment from the cow's milk and oncoming income from breeding the cow and selling its offspring. Miltador came into possession of this cow after several years of work. A local farmer had hired him, then he was just a boy, to take care of a small calf. Each morning and evening he retrieved the calf from the neighboring farm. He found a place for it to graze and then returned it to its home. Miltador cared for that calf with no pay until it had grown and became a mother cow and could be bred. When the farmer finally bred the cow, the farmer gave Miltador a calf, his only payment for years of hard work. As this discipleship group came, including Miltador, they studied through the New Testament and they came to John, 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. And there was a man by the name of Paul who led the study group, and he struggled with whether or not to teach the passage because he said, American Christians need this passage, but when we think of Haitians as the one who need the help, because the passage was in the Bible, because even the poor need to recognize the need to help others, he taught this passage, and it basically says, if you see your brother in need, if you see your brother in need, and those who have often think it's somebody else who has the need, and those who have not often think of somebody else who provides them for that need. But not so for Miltador. Miltador arrived at the discipleship group meeting, and Paul casually asked about his cow, as he often did, and its health and how things were going. He said, I don't have my cow anymore. What a tragedy. What happened to the cow? Paul asked. He said, my brother has been sick and needed to see a doctor. He had no money to pay for a doctor. And last week you told us if we have material possessions and see our brother in need but don't help, how can the love of God be in us? So he said, I sold my cow to pay for my brother's medical care. God saw us in need. God saw us in eternal need. And he gave us the most precious possession he had, the gift of himself, the gift of his son, so that we could have eternal life. And it's all because of his character. His motivation was his character, his love, which is unconditional. God is motivated because of his character to love us unconditionally and meet the deepest need in our life, which is to know him. God's focus. Second point, God's focus. Notice what God's focus is. It is the world. For God so loved the world. Now the word for world there is, we would know it as cosmos. We know what that word means. It means everything out there in creation. God's created order. God's cosmos. God so loved the world. All that he created. That he gave his only begotten son. And what I like to hear is this phrase, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God's focus is the world, but his invitation is inclusive. It is to all. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you were raised, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or Hindu. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter the color of the skin or the nationality in which you grew up. The Bible says God loves all and sent his son to die for all. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In fact, Jesus says it twice. Verse 15 says, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And then he says it again in verse 16. But if that's not good enough for you, listen to what Paul said to young Timothy, a young pastor preaching and teaching. He said, this is good and acceptable. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom, as a sacrifice for all. The invitation is to all. Christ died for all. 1 John, one of Jesus' apostles, says it this way. 1 John chapter 2. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Talking to Christians. And then he goes on to say, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And there's that word cosmos again. The whole world, God's created order. For whom did Christ die? I know there's arguments in the pulpits of America today. For whom did Christ die? But according to 1 John chapter 2, according to 1 Timothy, according to Jesus, Christ died for all. And the invitation is all to come to Him. To come to Him. Augustine says it this way. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. And I must tell you, that is my personal experience. At the age of 7, almost 8 years of age, I was washing dishes in my kitchen with my mother. She was washing, I was drying and putting them in the cupboard. And that day, the fear of death came upon my heart, and I began to weep and I began to cry because I was afraid to die, afraid what would happen to me if I was to leave this world without knowing Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I used to say a little prayer at night, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I believed with all my heart that if I died as a young child, God would take me into His presence. But as I got a little bit older, even though I wasn't a bad kid, I knew I wasn't a perfect kid, and I knew heaven was a perfect place, and I wondered how I would get there if I died. And I no longer had that confidence that if I died, I would go to heaven. And that fear of death led me to have a conversation with my mother. And I remember her and my dad going into the living room. I still remember that old Naugahyde brown rocker recliner that he sat in. I sat on the stool, he sat on the rocker. And he opened the Scriptures and began to share with me Scriptures out of the Roman road. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. The gift is God, is eternal life. All of those, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, man believes and it results in righteousness. And with confession, with the mouth, confession is made, and it results in salvation. I listened to all those verses, but the verse that sealed it for me was John 3:16, for God so loved the world. My dad said, Jay, you can put your name in there, for God so loved Jay, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Jay would believe in Him, Jay would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that day, for the first time in my life, Jesus was not just a historical figure who died on a cross for the world. Jesus was the Son of God who died for me. And I realized for the first time in my life that my sins, my mistakes nailed my Savior to the cross. And I wept and asked God to forgive me because my sins nailed His Son to the cross. And that day I invited Jesus to be my personal Savior and Lord of my life, because I realized Jesus died for me. And He died for you. God loves you, and His focus is the world. His invitation is inclusive. Third thing I want to share from this passage, and I've already mentioned it numerous times, God's gift. God's gift to us is the gift of His Son. And you need to understand, it was His one and only Son. And in that one and only Son, we have eternal life. Now, I need you to understand, according to what Jesus said here, is God did not send His Son to condemn you. It's not like God said, now I give you this person, this gift, and I sent him there just to trip you up so that if you don't accept him, you have to go to hell. That's not what God did. The Bible says we were already condemned without Jesus Christ because we had sin in our life. We had mistakes in our life. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the reason God sent His Son is not to mess us up and keep us out of heaven. The reason God sent His Son, because if He didn't, none of us could go to heaven. That's His gift, the gift of love. And God has been waiting for all eternity to give that gift to us. Because His heart is a heart of giving. His heart is a heart of love. At Christmas time, we give gifts as an expression of love. And God gave Jesus as the highest expression of His love for us. Jesus dying on the cross for you and me is the supreme example of that love. He died for those who were unworthy of His love. And yet He died for us anyway. Jesus said to Nicodemus these words, God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through Him, through Jesus, might be saved. He who believes not is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the only name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one thing that will keep you out of heaven. There's only one unpardonable sin. There's only one unforgivable sin. And that is the sin to refuse the gift of God's holy Son that He places before you. And the Bible says, he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The good news is no one has to perish. The bad news is many refuse the gift. Think back to the video. Imagine a little boy offering his mother that gift. I've been waiting forever to give you this gift. Can you imagine if the video ended, son, put it back under the tree. I don't want to open your gift. It's not worthy of me opening. Your heart would not have been so tender towards that mother, would it? And yet that's what a lot of people do with the gift that Jesus places in our hands. The gift of His only Son. We are priceless in God's eyes. He loves us. You want to know how much He loves you? Look at the cross. Look at the manger. Look at the resurrection. Look at His promise to return. Jesus loves you. He gave Himself for you. Will you accept His gift? Or will you reject His gift? Will you receive God's gift or allow it to remain under the tree? I love that last phrase in the video. I've been waiting forever to give it to you. I believe that's the kind of excitement and anticipation God has towards us wanting to give the gift of His Son. My question, have you received that gift? Will you receive that gift? And if you have, would you share that gift with others so that they may know eternal God, eternal Son, eternal life? Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for what You mean to us. We pray that You bless us now in this time, that we may understand and know what great sacrifice You gave in our behalf. You are loving Father. You gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive, the gift of Your Son, so that we might experience eternal life and an eternal home in heaven with You. And I pray that today, if there's just anybody here who has not yet given their heart and life to You, I pray that today would be the day. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, draw them to Yourself, they may respond to Your call. Pray this in Jesus' name with heads still bowed, hearts still open, eyes still closed. I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning, and there's nothing magical about the prayer. But I do know this, Jesus has promised, God has promised, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Paul said that if we call unto him, if we cry out to him, he will hear and respond to our prayer. Whoever calls unto me, he says he will save. So if you'd like to say this prayer in your heart to the Lord, you're sincere in your heart, you're repentant in your heart for the sins that nailed Jesus to the cross, you can say this prayer with me. Don't say it out loud. Just say it in your heart to the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that my sins nailed you to the cross. Please forgive me. I invite you to take control of my heart, my life. Help me to live for you for the rest of my days. Take control of my life right now. I give myself completely to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.